Now, I'll always have some guy say to me, yeah, you know, Pastor Wayne, I mean, that's all nice. You always got to test drive the car before you purchase it. When someone says that to me, I say to the girls, drop him like a hot potato. Because if they are comparing a lady to a piece of merchandise, he's too young to drive.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, the conclusion of a message we started yesterday, a message on dating and choosing a life's partner. But let me tell you, this message is not just for singles. It's all about how all of us can relate properly to the opposite sex. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Respecting One Another in Courtship.
You say, well, Wayne, what about dating? Should you date? Because some people say you shouldn't date, just pray, you know, and oh God, eeny, meeny, miny, it's you, you know. No, don't do that. No, don't look for this magical potion that'll give you this kind of thing. Listen, I say dating is fine, but make sure you're treating them as a sister now. But just like you would say thank you to somebody with a note or a little gift, if you see a sister, say, around church or in school or teaching or doing something really good, working with kids, and you just want to say thank you, no problem. Invite them out for dinner. Give them a wonderful dinner and a great evening and just say, you know, I just wanted to buy you dinner to say thank you. I've been watching you. And you just do such a good job with the kids or such a good job with this or that. Just want to say thank you. It could be a wonderful, brotherly kind of thank you. I mean, it doesn't have to get, wild thing. I think I love you. No. Doesn't have to get weird like that. Just have a wonderful date because, you see, you have to learn how to treat sisters with respect. Sisters, you need to learn how to treat men with respect. And so we've got to learn how to do that without jumping in the rack with each other and thinking that's the way it should go. Or if I date somebody, that means, you know, she's my wild thing. It's not. Just let it be something you treat the younger women as sisters, to say thank you to them. Nothing wrong with that. But make sure if you're starting to date that that person is a growing Christian. Number three, that person has a respect for you. Respects you, even when you're weak. Does he or she take advantage of the weakness? Or does he or she protect you from that weakness? It's time to go home. You know, the guy's eyeballs are rolling in the back of his head. It's midnight. And you see his hormones start to boil. And you know, and that's not the time to say, you know, the night is young. Let's go park at Tantalus and look at the stars. No, because you won't. So you need to make sure that you know how to protect one another and respect. Can this person have friendship without having sex? Or sex the only way that he can express himself? Can he have a friendship? Does he have enough depth and insight to be able to express love in a million zillion ways? Because you see, if you just rack out together right away, then there's this kind of euphoria, this sexual euphoria, these hormones started. Pretty soon you almost get addicted to it. And then you start fawning all over each other, and it's like you're stoned. Now, if that's the only thing you get and have in common, you get married, that euphoria wears off after a few years. And then if you don't have a deep friendship, you have nothing in common. When that euphoria wears off, you better have a strong foundation of friendship and enjoying being with one another and a trust in one another, because that's the foundation it's going to come back to. And if you've not built that and the euphoria is gone, that's why a lot of marriages go on the rocks after about 3 years, because they don't have anything left in common. I remember in Bible college, you know, I'd be working and I'd look and Anna's staring at me. And then I'd stare at her. And we just kind of stare at each other for like an hour. You know, it's great, but now we've been married 28 years. If I'm doing something and she starts staring at me, I'll look at her and go, what? Isn't that right? Don't look at me like that. You spooky, girl. You spooky. Jeebies. You know. So that euphoria kind of wears off. You better have a friendship and the ability to laugh and enjoy each other's company. And then finally, please teach them that love, quote unquote, is not the parameter for sex. Marriage is the parameter for sex. Let me tell you why it's so important to understand this. Because you see, let's say there's a circle here, and the circle dictates marriage. It depicts marriage, the commitment of marriage, a lifetime commitment. But you're out here. You haven't gotten married yet to this girl. And so if you're out here in this side and you say, you know, we love each other. Now, I know that this parameter here is marriage, and that's where the lifetime commitment is. But take a look at this next slide here. You'll see it says sex outside of marriage. Oh, it's okay, honey, because we love each other and we intend to be married one day. So because we love one another, it's okay to have sex outside of the parameters of marriage because we're going to enter it one day. But right now it's okay. Oh, okay, honey. And so they move into sexual activity. Now, let's say one day they do get married, but now fast forward the tape 10 years and things aren't going well in that marriage. Now, let's say the only thing that guy focuses on now is his remote control and say, get me another Heineken. And the lady says, come on, let's talk. Shut up. Get out of here. Well, she goes to work. And after a while, there's a guy at work she meets that genuinely is interested in her. He listens to her. He talks with her, comforts her. 7-8 months go by. She's got nothing in common with this guy in the circle anymore. So now this other guy says, you know, I think I love you. And she says, I think I love you too. Well, what about that husband of yours? Oh, I want to divorce him. He doesn't love me anymore. So let's say they jump in the rack. What does that guy in that circle say? Oh, it's okay. No, so I'll shoot that guy because he shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be having sex outside of marriage. Oh, wait a minute, sir. You taught your wife that very well when you told her it was okay if you love somebody to have sex outside of that circle. Yeah, but I'm married to her now. Uh-huh, but she wants to divorce you and she wants to get rid of it, and she's intending to marry this other guy. So the same thing, it's just a second circle. And so you're saying it was okay over here, but it's not okay over here. So was that a manipulative thing you were doing? It wasn't a true fact, was it? Because it doesn't stand, that illustration does not carry out. See, you don't want to teach anybody or say it's okay to have sex outside of marriage if you love somebody and even if you're intending to marry that person. Because what'll happen 10 years later? What about when you're going through a downtime and your downturn in your marriage? You're saying, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. You don't want to teach that. You want to say the parameters for sex is not love, quote unquote, because that changes sometimes if we have the wrong definition of love. It's marriage. It's a lifetime of commitment. We say that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. That's true, but it's not true. The order is wrong. See, a lot of us have been taught by the world and by Hollywood and by magazines and by people in the locker room. And it seems like that's the way to go about it. But let's read what Proverbs 14 says. Ready? Go. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, sometimes we think this is the right way to do it, but it's not. Let me give you the real order. It's not body, soul, and spirit. Because this is body here. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Body is your physical. Soul is made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions. And your spirit is that part of you that comes alive when Christ comes into your heart. And you become alive in the things of the spirit. Or your spirit comes alive. That's that part of you that communicates with God. If your spirit isn't alive, God still loves you. You still exist. But you can't hear God. The Bible says in Corinthians, the natural man cannot understand the things of God because they're only spiritually discerned. But when Christ comes into your heart, your spirit comes alive, and now you're whole because you have body, soul, and your spirit is alive. You are whole in Christ, not in someone else or a position or a relationship. Christ is the one that makes you whole. And that's why we said, fathers, teach the security in Christ. That's where you become whole. But it's not necessarily body, soul, and spirit. And it's just not a play on words. It's really the opposite. Let's read this next scripture. Ready? Go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice it's not body, soul, and spirit, but it's listed as what? Spirit, soul. In those three bullets, would you write it in the right way? Spirit, soul, body. And if you will keep that law of order in your heart, it will help you immensely when you are choosing a life partner. That when you are courting someone or they are courting you, that's the order. It's a law of order. Don't put the cart before the horse, because in the world, it's body first. We see each other physically. We jump in bed together. And then after that's done, we say, the soul. Maybe we should see if we have anything in common. Let's just see if we can be friends. And then after a while, you have 18 kids and you're married and you go, God, help us. Then the spirit, you guys go to church. And just wrong, opposite. So when you're courting, first is spirit. And that is this. Is your relationship honoring to God? Are you building from the same blueprint? Can we worship God together with a genuine heart? You see, when you have the same blueprint, then you can build together and you'll be on the same page. But if some guy has, say, the blueprint of things he's learned and you're trying to go from the blueprint of God's word, we have different blueprints. And let's say it's like two construction people building the same house starting in different ends. And as sincere as this builder is and as sincere as this one is, if you've got different blueprints, by the time you meet, there's a huge fault line. And it's going to run throughout the house. You got to make sure you're building from the same blueprint. That's that spirit. If you're following God, both of you are following the same God with the same values and same blueprint, then even though there's going to be times of turbulence, it will be His power that will pull you back together. Follow the same God. And that's a part of the spirit. The next is soul. After you know that you're pleasing to God, then become friends. Become friends and just enjoy being with each other. Then if God gives you the green light, and then the body part, where within the framework of marriage, then you enjoy what God has given to you in this gift of sexual activity. Because what happens is, then when you're together as a husband and wife, you will see how God has ordained this activity of sex to be something filled with meaning. And there will be a freedom. There will be a trust. It's no longer just a recreation with a questionable commitment attached to it. No, it is a trust and a lifetime of commitment with one another. When you're on a date, make sure your actions show this order. That there'll be no petting and no fooling around. And I tell you, in the first 3 or 4 dates, you'll weed out most of the guys who are not really interested in you as a person. Just really interested in using you to gain their jollies. You'll weed them out right away in the beginning as you stick to your guns of spirit, soul, body. That is the law of order. Now, I'll always have some guys say to me, yeah, you know, Pastor Wayne, that's all nice, but, you know, you got to test drive the car before you drive it. I mean, you got to test drive before you buy it. You always got to test drive the car before you purchase it. When someone says that to me, I say to the girls, drop him like a hot potato. Because if they are comparing a lady to a piece of merchandise, he's too young to drive. So the law of order is very important. And finally, the law of purity. Now, this is going to be an important one for a lot of us, and I need you to hear me out on this, and then we'll be done. The law of purity. I'm about to say something that many of you will say, oops, that's not me. But hold on, because good news is coming. So, hang on. Now, listen very carefully. I want to speak to all the young people in this church here. Suppose a wealthy grandparent gave you the most beautiful and the most exquisite diamond gift you've ever seen, worth over $1 million. It's a beautiful, beautiful diamond gift, just this huge diamond, like the Hope Diamond. It's gorgeous. But it's given to you with the understanding that you would have the privilege of giving this away to someone very special. But you could only give it once, and once you gave it away, it was theirs for keeps, and you can't get it back. So here's this gift. Now remember, you're being given this diamond with the understanding that you'll have the privilege of giving it away to one special person. Choose wisely. And once you give it away, you can't get it back. How would you treat this gift? Would you give it to the first person who saw it and say, hey, I want that? No. Would you give it to a person who demanded that you give that gift to me to prove that you really love me? No. Well, would you carelessly give it away because others made fun of you for still having it while they had squandered and thrown those away? Theirs away, it's gone already, and they're making fun of you for still having yours? So give it away carelessly. No. Well, every young person has this gift. It's called virginity. And giving it away carelessly is like giving a huge sum of money to someone only to discover later that you gave it to the wrong person and now they scorn you and they take your money and you're broke. Remember it in this way. Every romantic relationship that you have will all come to an end except one. That'll be your lifetime commitment with someone, a life partner. So take your time. The right person is the one you will marry, and the right time is your wedding night. And guys, listen, the greatest gift you can give on your wedding night to your bride is the gift of purity. And I mean, what girl would not be thrilled with a husband like that? Now it comes to the rest of us. What if we've already given it away? What if? Are we now condemned? Are we out to lunch? Are we out of luck? God's saying, well, you're just going to cut you off here and you go down this chute. No. Well, what would God say? Well, he exampled this, what he would say, when a woman in John 8 was caught in the act of having this adulterous affair. They pulled her out and a bunch of people picked up rocks and were going to stone her to death because that was the way they did it in those days. And Jesus stopped them and said, hey, you want to kill this lady? All right, let's do it in an orderly fashion then. Let's have the one who is without sin. You just toss the first pitch. Go for it. And one by one, they all began dropping those stones and walking away. And then when there was no one there, the Lord spoke to this woman. Where are your accusers? He said. Are they here? And let's read what her answer is. Ready? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way from now on, sin no more. Would you underline that last line? Neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. Huh? Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't realize how important it was. I gave that gift away. Can I get it back? Nope, you cannot. You can only give it to one person, one time. But you may not be able to get your physical virginity back, but you can get your inner virginity back. That's called the law of purity. What is that? Listen very carefully. Notice he says, neither do I condemn you. Go your way and what? Here's the law of purity. The law of purity is when God shines his light and you see the pathway you've been going and it's not the best. The law of purity says, I choose to say no to any further sex until marriage, and I choose to live out that decision. I choose to say no until I will be married. So I will regain an inner purity or the law of purity. That's what he said to this lady. See, you'll become what you choose, so make that choice and live it out, and you'll become a very different person. I had to choose that because I wasn't a Christian. I had kind of gone around the barn, but when I became a Christian, I was actually 2 weeks out from getting married to this other girl, but it was completely wrong living with her, and it was just a wrong relationship. I became a Christian. I knew I had to break it off. If you're with someone, you're physically involved, and they cannot make that change with you, the best is to break it off. Whoa, can we just back up? It's like backing up on a crowded freeway. Very difficult. The best is to break it off and then choose the law of purity and see what God does. So when I met Anna, then I chose the law of purity to stay pure until we got married. And it works. God will honor that. Choose the law of purity. And then I chose that and we did that until Anna and I got married in 74. By the way, that's 1974. And and God is blessed. Now, choosing the law of purity is not saying no to sex forever. It's just saying no to cheap sex so that later on when you're married, you can say yes to what God has planned for you and how to enrich your life. Now, you'll have to, in order to carry it out, you've got to like plan your dates carefully. You know, don't have dead time in your dates. Make sure it's planned well. And I say to the girls, when you go out on a date, make sure you put a Bible between you and the guy. If he gets weird, he has to get over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before he reaches you. But you can overcome your past mistakes and have a happy marriage by choosing the law of purity. Can it happen? Mm-hmm. Does it really work? It does. I'm going to end with a letter from a lady. It's a letter she wrote of a girl that went from guy to guy and never found love. But she chose the law of purity. Here's her story. I met Ray at work. He was different from the other guys I'd been dating. He seemed so kind and nice, and we became friends right off. We started to date and became boyfriend and girlfriend. I was used to having sex because that's the way I've always lived, but he was hesitant. Well, later on, we did end up being physically involved. But he seemed to change after we did. I mean, he was so nice when we first started our relationship. But now all he wanted was more physical involvement. And I grew to despise this kind of relationship. I was beginning to see that sex outside of marriage was a lie. But it was so hard to tell Ray, and I didn't want to lose this commitment. He gave me an engagement ring to give me more of a feeling of commitment. But it still didn't help. Then he became more aggressive, and I was beginning to see that our relationship was nothing more than a physical relationship. 2 years into our relationship, and an engagement ring on my finger, and then I made the biggest step of my life. I called it off and broke up with him. I had to find out what true love was all about, and I chose the law of purity, and I meant to live it out. I started to go back to church and get involved with church. For the first time ever, I had true peace. And I found true love. And that was not in a human relationship, but in a relationship with God. Months went by, and later I saw Ray again. We talked about what was happening. And I told him that I had changed. He realized that he needed to change also. Well, we began to see each other again, but from that point on, we were not involved physically because I had chosen the law of purity. And we began to see a beautiful communication unfold and a wonderful and genuine friendship. I never, and she underlines that this, I never would have thought that my letting go and seeking for true love would have ever given me so much joy. But it has, because now, she writes, I am happily married to Ray. And the blessing that has come from our waiting until marriage has been worth it all. Choose the law of purity. And as God shines the light on where we are now, he's saying, now come follow me. It's not a condemnation, it's an invitation. Now come follow me. And you get to make, and I get to make that response. Do it well. And fathers, as you learn these principles, give it as a legacy to your children. Because the best legacy you'll give will not be possessions or money. It'll be the lessons that will help them make life decisions. There's no greater legacy. And that will help us to see God's will in life's one another's.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Respecting One Another in Courtship by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the life journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope, heard each day at this time on this very fine station. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best, and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in our auditorium, starting May 17th with two Sunday services, 9 and 11 a.m. Our Bible College students, alongside our other members, will be serving and leading in worship. Our teaching pastors will be myself, along with Larry Powers and Aaron Cordero. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.